All right, we are holding, well, we got up to the first line of Sama Chamed Aleph, but maybe we should go back over the last couple of lines of Nuntes Amud Beis to, because we stopped kind of in the middle of something. The Gemara had quoted a Braisa. Let's start over from the beginning of the Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, 7 lines from the bottom of Nuntes Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, we've been talking about what kind of women a Kohen Gadol, for the most part, is allowed to marry. And we know the Torah says he has to marry a Bsula, and we've been discussing exactly what it means a Bsula for this purposes, for these purposes. What's included and what's not included, basically. So, Tana Rabbanan, Anusas Atzmei Mufotas Atzmei Leisa. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a girl who he himself was Ma'anes, who he himself raped, or Mufotas Atzmei, where he himself was Mufatis, seducer. The Onus is against her will, and Mufata is consensual. Because then at that point, when he marries her, she's not a psula anymore. But if he married her, the Braita is saying b'di'evid. It sounds like the Braita is saying b'di'evid, they're allowed to stay married. We're going to discuss that in a minute in the Gemara. Mufurta implies that both of them imply via. But Mufurta means it was consensual. She agreed to it. Right. And Onus is non-consensual. She was raped. If he married her, then he's married to her, which sounds like it means like they're allowed to stay married. We'll get back to that in a minute. On the other hand, he's also not allowed to marry a woman who was honored or mufuta by somebody else. The imnasa, and if he married her, what happens? Rabbi Lozman, yeah, everybody agrees he's not allowed to marry her. But the imnasa, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov Amar Vlad Cholol, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov goes so far as to say it's actually an isur lav, or we'll talk about in the Gemara whether it's an isur lav or it's an eser or whatever it is. He holds the child from it would be a cholol. But Chum Amar Vlad Kosher, where the Chum say no, he may not have been allowed to marry her, but the child still will be considered a kosher kain. So let's analyze. Im nasa nasri, amar Rav Huna, amar Rav, umayt si beget. So however, Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, he is married to her, but he still needs to give her a get. We're going to force him to divorce her. Question is, what do you mean? Elohad katani im nasa nasri. What do you mean? So what does the braisa mean when it says that when it says if he's married, he's married? Amar Rav Achav Yaakov loy mashein b'shalom knas b'mufota. The point of it is like this. The Torah tells us there's a difference between onus and mufata in the Torah. Mufata talks about parshas mishpatim. What the pasuk says, she has a choice. If he wants, first of all, she always has a choice by onus or by mufata. She has the choice whether to marry him or not. If she doesn't want, then he doesn't marry her. By mufata, he also has the choice. If he wants to marry her, then good. If he doesn't want to marry her, kesef yishto kamar absula. He has to pay a fine. He has to pay a fine equivalent.
Here, I'll call you back a little later.
Couldn't it mean also nasa nasui means the kedushin echal?
No, because there's no question the kedushin echal. It's only an issue lav at most. Only according to Rabbi Akiva would it be an issue with the kedushin. No. So the point is, by mafata, the Torah says that he has a choice: either he marries her or he pays the knas. Like this, what happens is, if he marries her, even in this case, forget about the onus for the moment, because by the onus, the Torah says he has to pay the fine and he has to marry her, and he's not allowed to divorce her. But by the Mufata, if he chooses to marry her, so in this case, he's not supposed to marry her because she's a Ba'ula, but if he does, we're saying that the marriage takes effect to the extent that then he's postured himself from having to give, from having to pay the knas.
So we encourage him in a way.
No, not we encourage him. He shouldn't marry her because an Isser, at the very least, it's an Isser Esser for him to be married on her. But if he does, then, well, he's married her. The fact is, he did a marriage which is valid api Torah. And it is, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the knas. Which Tosfos asks the question. I mean, the amount of the fine that he pays is exactly the same as the amount for the tzuba. So what is he gaining exactly? He's still paying out the same amount of money anyway. If he divorces her, he's still having to pay out the same 200 zuz. So what's he gaining? And Tosfos gives a couple possibilities. One could be, for example, you can have a case where the woman is moichel her tzuba. She tells her husband, you know what? You don't have to pay me the tzuba money. Well, in that case, so in that case, he wouldn't have to pay. He doesn't have to pay anything. Whereas with the knas, she doesn't have the power to be moichel that. It gets paid to her father. Another possibility, Tosafot says, is there's a difference how the knas is paid out versus the ksuba. A ksuba, if the ksuba is being paid out of land, if the person doesn't have money or metalton to pay off the ksuba, then it gets paid out of land. In that case, he pays out of ziburis, out of the lowest quality land that he has. In various places, explains why, because a woman will usually wants to get married no matter what, so she'll be willing to take even ziburis. Whereas when it comes to paying the knas, it's like any nezik. You have to pay me the iddis from the best quality property. So there is also a difference. Anyway, so that Tosis points that out. Yeah. So also Rukviya mi Beit Kosel. So Rukviya mi Beit Kosel went Amr l'shmaita kamei de Ravashi, and he told over this teaching and this discussion to Ravashi. Amalei. So Ravashi says, how could it be? Well, you're telling me that Rav is saying that it means. He shouldn't. Not only he shouldn't have married her, but we're gonna force him to divorce her. But Rav and Rabbi Yechon, we said according to Rav, but Rav and Rabbi Yechon both say begeres umukas eitz lo yisa, that if the kohen gadol, that a kohen gadol is not supposed to marry a begeres, as we discussed yesterday, because ein b'soleh shleiman and mukas eitz, when she was injured by wood and lost her b'solim that way, he shouldn't marry her. V'il nasa nasri, but if he married her, then b'di'evet the marriage is a marriage. Now there's no issue of knas. By onus and mafate, you can say he's getting out of by mafate anyway. You can say he's getting out of knas. By bageres and mukaseis, there's no issue of knas. If it says v'im nasa nasri, obviously it means they're allowed to stay married. Why? Alma soifalias bageres taktam, soifalias mukaseis taktam. Because when you get down to it, eventually, so he marries her. The normal situation, he marries her as a naira. 6 months later, she's going to be a bageres no matter what. Obviously, the Torah doesn't force him to divorce her at that point. Same thing with mukaseis. Okay, the Torah wants him to marry a b'sula. After he has the first relations with her, she's not going to be a b'sula anymore. It's going to be the equivalent of mukaseis. And we don't force him to divorce her. So the fact that those things are going to happen anyway means that therefore we say, okay, l'chatchila he shouldn't marry her because he's supposed to marry b'huisha b'psala yikach. But once he marries her, then we say, you know what, listen, it was bound to happen anyway.
As a
clinical event. Yeah. So hachanami, so for the b'ol, why don't you say the same case over here? Yes, he was onus. Yes, he was mufata. Why are you forcing him to divorce her? Eventually, she's going to be a b'ula with him anyway. Kasha. And the Gemara says, Kasha. It's not, as usual, when the Gemara says Kasha, we've had many times already, doesn't mean it's a total stira. We could find a way to fight for her. And Mephoshim, do answer. I think the Rishva says there's a difference. You know, Begeres and Mukas 8, it's like there's no gnai involved, there's no improper action involved. Here, you know, after all, it was an onus, or it was pittery. As the case may be, which is, you know, it's an improper thing. There's maybe less of a reason to say that soifal liyas taktav. Like, it's not, you know, the same thing is going to happen. Sure, the same physiological thing is going to be the case in the end, that she's not going to have basulim. But the difference between whether it happens through a matter of gnai, like onus and mafata, versus not. Anyway. Then the bride said, continued, Anusas chavero mufuta chavero lo yisa, that a person said that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a woman who was onus or mufuta by somebody else. And if he married her, we said in the Brayis that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the child is a cholol. But Chumim avlad kosher, where the Chum say yes, he's not allowed to marry her, but it's not the kind of thing that makes him a cholol. The child is kosher. So Amar Rabbi Huna Amar Rav Halacha, could Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Halacha is like him, the child is a cholol. V'chein Amar Rav Gidul Amar Rav Halacha, could Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and so also Rav Gidul says in the name of Rav. Ikadamri, that he's a cholol. Ikadamri. Others say that the report went like this. Omer of Unav Amarav, my time at the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're not just saying the halacha is like him. What's the reason behind what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says? The reason is, Sabalak Rabbi Elazar, because he holds like Rabbi Elazar. We learned yesterday, and we're going to learn in a couple of days, more about Rechot, some Tamachalach on the days, that Rabbi Elazar holds the definition of a zoyna who is also to a kohen and with a child from it is going to be a cholol is any woman who had a bia asura, even if it wasn't asur by an isur karis or mrs. Basin or isurik kahuna or what have you, even if it was honori habala pnuya, we learned yesterday that an unmarried man and an unmarried woman have relations, then the child from that is a cholol. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about over here. There's anusas chavera and mefutas chavera. She was anus, or she was mefuta by somebody else. Therefore, according to him, she's a zoyna at that point. And therefore, if she marries a kohen, then the child is a cholol. Yeah. question is, when we saw the Lokava say, how could we say Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds like Rabbi Elazar? Our Kaimalon Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, we know for a fact, we learned before on Daf Mem Tes, that we have a general rule that the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. It's a small amount. He's not mentioned that much in Shas, relatively speaking, but Vanaki, clean, in that the Halacha is always or almost always like him.
When he gives an opinion.
Yeah. So the Halacha should be like him. But in this case, Rab Amram specifically said in the name of Rav, actually, okay, I'll go to Bach, take that Amar Rav, but okay, Ein halacha k'rab alaza. The halacha is not like Rab alaza. That's not what makes a woman considered to be a zayna. So how could you say how the halacha is going to be like Rab alaza ben Yaakov, but the halacha is not like Rab alaza? So how could you say that's the reason? Again, Kasha. And again, there's various possible answers to this kasha. One of them is, and in fact, one of them is that Rishonim disagree on the whole question. When we say Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, does it mean specifically in Mishnayos, or does it include in Braisos as well? It's a machlokes Rishonim. For our Gemara over here, on the one hand, we're quoting a Braisa, and we're asking, isn't it Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki? Which seems to imply that it includes Braises as well. But the answer to the Kasha could be no, it only applies to Mishnayos. In Braises, sometimes the halacha is like him, sometimes not. It could also be based on the Yisoid that I mentioned when we learned this a week and a half ago, that in fact there were two Tanoim named Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. There was the one who wrote Masechet Midos, who lived through the Churban, and there was a later one, there was a Chaver of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and the rest of that and the rest of that dirt. So it could be that it could be it's the other Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here. We don't know. Anyway. Rav Ashi Amar, no, Rav Ashi says that's not the reason behind Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. The reason is b'yesh cholom l'chay ve'esek ha'mifligi. The machlokas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim is, would a child be a cholol if he's born from an iser from a marriage which was only altered by an esek? Now, with the Kohen Gadol on the Sola, there's no lois esek telling him to not marry a Ba'ula. There's only an esek. The Sola me'am of Yukach Isha. So the lava comes from an essay, effectively, which is considered an essay. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sava yesh cholo mechayve essay. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that yes, even from a chayve essay, you can have the child will be a cholo. But Rabbanan sava in cholo mechayve essay, whereas the Rabbanan hold not. A cholo comes only from an issur lois essay, according to them, meaning grusha cholala zayna amon lefayin gadol, but not a chayve essay. Okay, my time at Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. If the pasuk goes like this, Amono Grusha v'chalola zayna es elah layikach. The pasuk says a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. A Grusha, chalola zayna, these he's not allowed to marry. Ki im besula v'goymer, only a besula. Uchtiv, and then the pasuk continues. The next pasuk, v'lo yichalol zare ba'amav, that he should not make his children to be chalolim, which implies akulu. So evidently, the v'lo yichalol zare is referring to the whole previous pasuk. That if he does anything other than, if he marries any of these four categories of women, or if he does not marry a psula, then the child's a chol. So there you go. V'rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? They would say, Eila hifsika inyan. They'd say, look at the pasuk again. Almona ugrusha v'chalala zayna, es eila lo yikach. These he should not take. Tim b'sula me'am of yikachisha, and then v'lo yichalal zare. The eila, they're saying, breaks things up. Implying these ones that are chayve lavin, there's a difference between them and the chayve esse, the non-besula. So the chayve lavin are one category, the non-besula is another category. Only one of them is going to make the child a cholo. And Tosfos points out, I mean, you know, so you obviously you might not know from that. You might argue with, you know, you wouldn't know necessarily from that one or the other which category it is. But it's more logical to say that it's the chayve lav that makes the child a cholo. In general, we find the chayve that a chiyuv lav is more serious than being over on a mitzvah essay.
So by saying eight.
By saying es ela lo yikach implies that there's a break. There's two different categories. Not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that they're all lumped into one. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, what does he answer to that? What does he do with the word ela? He says ela lo utin mida. He says the word ela comes to exclude. If the Kohen Gadol has relations with his wife when she's a nida, the child's not going to be a cholol. It's an issur koris, but the kid's not going to be, and the kid's not a mamzer. We learned that before, and he's not a cholol either. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Keman oz lahodatanya me'ela ata oisacholol v'ata oisacholom inida." We have the following braisa. So who does it go according to? It says that from these, it's possible to have a cholol, meaning all the ones that it sounds like it means all the ones that are also to a kohen. That I mentioned the kohen gadol, I mentioned in the pasuk. The iyat to oitz a cholol min nida, but you do not make a cholol by having relations with a nida. Come on, kribalaz ben Yaakov. That would be a coin to kribalaz ben Yaakov. Because according to the Rabbanon, in fact, it's not all of them. Again, if the kohen gadol marries a ba'ula, according to the chachamim, the kid's not a cholol.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov, in the case of the Nida, it's not a chal because what?
Because the pasuk says Ela. Because the pasuk says Ela, only the ones that are listed in the pasuk over here.
And not Es Ela.
No, Es Ela. Es Ela, lo yikav. No, it's not a question of Ela versus Es Ela. The fact that it says the word Ela breaks things up. It shows, according to the Rabbanon, it breaks them up into two categories. According to the Lazim Yaakov, it means the five that are listed in the Pasuk are in one category, and something that's not mentioned in the Pasuk, namely a Nida, is in another category. The five make Halolim, the Nida does not. Okay, the question is, according to Rabbi Lazim Yaakov, you're saying the word Ela is coming to exclude something that's not even in the Pasuk. So why is it listed in the middle between the four Lavan and the Eseth? Let it say Ela at the end. Amonu grush v'chalola zayna lo yikach, ki in the sula me'am of yikach isha, however it could be phrased, but whatever, you put Ela in at the end over there. Maybe Almonu Grusha Halala Zaina Vishain of Sula as Ava La Yikach or something to that effect. Again, Kasha. Tana Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is gonna go on to kind of a related topic. We've been learning about who is allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, in particular what the definition of Besula is for this purpose. Now there's another case in Dini Kahuna where it mentions the Besula. At the beginning of Parshas Emor, the Torah describes a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei except for his close relatives. Who are the close relatives? It starts listing off of there. She'eri Akar of Elav, which actually says they mean his wife, his father, his mother, his children, etc. And V'lachoyse ha-besula ha-kreva Elav, to his sister who is a besula who's close to him. So we're gonna talk about that now. What cases isn't a Kohen allowed to be metame for his sister after she passes away? Tana Rabbanan, achoisei arusa, if his sister is an arusa, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda omer metame la. So they, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda say he's allowed to become tame for her. She's an arusa. She's not, obviously if she's in nesua, then she's then no good anymore because she's not achoisei abesula. But if she's an arusa, they say fine. Rav Yosef and Rav Shimon omer ein metame la. Rav Yosef and Rav Shimon say no. How about anuso mafuta, where sister was nanas or nispata? Dirakal in metamala. Okay, then everybody agrees that he can't be metame because she's not a psula at that point. Umukas what? That's what we're going to talk about soon. That's what the difference is between psula versus asher lahayisulish. We'll get to that soon. Yeah, but in this case, anuso mafuta has definitely been hayisulish. She's been with a man. Yeah. Not a husband, okay, but it doesn't say Ashel Allah Yisrael Isha, right? Umukas Eitz Ein Metamela, Dibur Reb Shimon. What about if she's a Mukas Eitz, if she was injured by a foreign object? Then Reb Shimon says that you cannot be Metamela for her, which implies that all the rest of them agree that, say that you could be, even though she's not physically a Pesula anymore, but she wasn't La'ish, that Gemara is going to discuss soon. Shahayu Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon said the following general rule: Ru'uya l'kohen gadol metamila. If this woman would have been capable of marrying a kohen gadol, then a regular kohen, a kohen hedyet, can be metami for her. She'en ru'uya l'kohen gadol ain metamila. If she's not roy for the kohen gadol, then her brother, the kohen, is not allowed to be metami for her. In this case, in the Mishnah, we said umukas eitz lo yisa, and Rashi had explained on the Mishnah over there that was only according to Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. That the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, which is Reb Meir, would say that he is allowed. So according to Reb Shimon, she's possible to claim Gadol, therefore she's also therefore the brother can't be metamic for her either. Ubegeres metamila divrei kol adam, and everybody, an unusual expression here, divrei kol adam, usually would say divrei hakol or kula modim or whatever. If she's a begeres, everybody agrees that he can be metamic for her. Even though we said before that a begeres, according to Reb Meir, is not allowed to marry a claim Gadol. Nevertheless, even Rameyer agrees that her brother is able to be metame for her. So, my time is Rameyer, Rabbi Yehuda. So, what's Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Where do they get? So let's summarize so far. We have Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda are saying that if she's an arusa, you can still be metame for her. If she's an arusa or mufuta, then no. And if she's mukas, so if she's arusa, or if she's mukas eight, then she's fine. If she's an arusa or mufuta, then not. And if she's a begeris, then also fine. So my time at the where are we? My time at the Meir Reb Yehuda. The Darshi Hachi. They darshin the pasuk as follows. V'la'choseh ha'b'sula, when it says his sister who's a b'sula, means prepla anus or mufuta, as opposed to if she was anus or mufuta, if she was raped or seduced, she's not a b'sula anymore. Yachol shani moitzi af mukaseit. You would think that in that case we should also exclude a mukaseit. She's not a b'sula either. Talmud Lema, she's a b'sula-ish. Therefore the pasuk continues that it has to be she was not to a man. Misha havayasa ayadei ish, meaning that the havaya, the making her not a basula, happened through a man. Yasa zush, ain't havayasa ayadei ish, as opposed to this. The havaya, the making her a new status, no longer a basula, did not happen through a man. It was mukaseit. So therefore, no problem. Hakroiva, then the pasuk continues, who's close to him. Lodabas harusa, that comes to include the arusa, because she's still close. She's still living under the same roof, with her under her parents' roof, with her brother. As opposed to a Nesua, who would already be leaving with her husband. Elov, and when she finishes off Hakroiva Elov, Lodabas Habageris, that comes to include that he can be Tame for her even after she's a Begeris. What? The Pasuk doesn't have to use the word Begeris, it uses the word Elov, and we understand. I mean, I don't even know if the Shodosh of the word Begeris appears anywhere in Tanakh, the Shodosh Bogar, I don't know. But be that as it may, it's a term from Divrei Chachamim for the most part, from Lashon Chazal. Not yeah. Okay. The question is, halama likra. What do you need a special pasuk to include a begeris? So Amar Rav Meir b'sula afilu mitzvah b'sula mashma. When we started learning yesterday about the eligibility to marry a kohen gadol, there the pasuk says v'hu isha b'suleha yikach, and Rav Meir started pointing out over there the word b'sula by itself would mean afilu mitzvah b'sula mashma, even if she's only sort of a semi b'sula, meaning a begeris, where her b'sulim are not in the same condition that they were when she was a naira, because she's matured and therefore her b'sulim change along with her. Only because it says bibsuleha do we learn that it has to be a bsula, that has to be bsula shlema, a full 100% bsula, meaning a naira. So then, in that case, in our pasuk it doesn't say bibsuleha, it says v'lachosei habsula. So why would we think that it shouldn't include a begeris? What do you need the word elav for? The answer is itzrich. We still need it. Sakadat hachaminah neil b'sula b'sulamacham. Fakir, we would think we would learn a gzeder shava b'sula from there, from the kohen gadol. Mala halam naira afkan nami naira. Just like over there, according to the mayor, the woman has to be a naira. It has to be called b'sula kayamin. You would think maybe over here also by Thomas Mess. Kamash malon, and that's the chiddush that he says we don't do that gzeder shava. So therefore, we can be metame for her to begin with. Yeah. Okay, that takes care of Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. Next, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, my time are you? Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon. So let's review what they said. They said that an arusa you cannot be metame for. Anusa or mafuta you also can't be metame for. Mukas eight. All of a sudden we have Rabbi Shimon and all of a sudden we have Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon breaking ranks. We have only Rabbi Shimon saying that he can't be metame for her. And a begeret, everybody says is fine. So how do they learn the pasuk? Darshi hachi, they darshin as follows. V'lachoyse absula means prap anus or mufuta, means as opposed to if she was anus or mufuta, like Rameo said. Umukas eight, and they add that it also excludes the mukas eight, because now she's not absula. What is asher loyhoysa? So Rameo had used asher loyhoysa ish to say he used it as one unit, as he used that phrase of four words as one unit, asher loyhoysa ish, that only if have a yasubide ish. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon are breaking it up. Asher loy hoysa prat la arusa. The word asher loy hoysa comes to exclude the arusa, because there's already been a havaya. There's already been kedushin, which in various places in the Torah is called havaya. Ki til ish, or whatever the lashon is, and the yot of a hoysa la ishacher. So therefore, asher loy hoysa over here would mean that she would have to mean that she's not an arusa. Once she's an arusa, then she's hoysa. Hakroiva, then the pasuk continues that she's close. Lurabes arusa shenis garsha. That comes to include though that if she was an arusa and then she got divorced without ever having gone through nisuin, then her brother is allowed to be metame for her again. And elov, And the word Elov, the Rabbis is a Begeris. It's like we said before, like in Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, comes to include the Begeris. Question is, the Gemara says, what do you mean Hakroiva the Rabbis Arusish and Iskausha? What do you mean that Hakroiva comes to include an Arusa who was divorced? We just said before, Rav Shimon said a general rule that if the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a woman, that her brother can't be metame for either. A Kohen Gadol can't marry a Grusha, even if a Kohen Head yet can't. So how is her brother metame for her? The answer is Shiny Hassim, Rabbi Rahman Kroiva. That's the difference. In this case, the Pasuk has the extra word, Kroiva, to tell us that this is an exception to the rule. Okay, Hachim Mukasef Nami. Rabbi, in that case, say the same thing, that you can include mukaseits, just like Rameir and Rehuda did. The answer is kroiva achas v'leishtayim. It only says kroiva in the singular, meaning you can only be married by one case, not two. If you have two edge cases where that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry, one being a grusham and an erusin, and one being a mukaseit, both of which Rav Shimon holds, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her, and we're saying we're going to be married by one, that her brother, the Kohen Hedya, can be metame for her. It's going to be the grusha. Umara isa. So what's the logic to say that? The logic is ha is avid b'maisa, ha lo is avid b'maisa. The difference is in the case of the grusha, no physical action has been done with her. She's still a psula just as she was. Whereas the mukaseit, something has been done. Yeah, it wasn't by human agency. It was a piece of wood. But still, an action has been done. There's a difference in her goof now that there wasn't before. If she was mukaseit, then she'll know about it, and I guess she'll. It would be embarrassing, I guess, but I mean, she's going to have had to inform her family at some point anyway, because it's going to make a difference. Actually, when we learn ksubas, and in a few months, as Hashem, we're going to learn about whether it makes a difference when she gets married as far as her ksuba. So yeah,
she has to announce it.
It's not like she has to put it on Facebook, but you know, she does have to inform the people who need to know. I guess. She didn't do anything wrong, but again, you know, these things become known anyway. I mean, the Anusa anyway, you know, the whole thing goes to Beis Din, right? He's fined and Beis Din and forced to marry her, etc. So yeah, you know. Okay, now Rabbi Yosi. Now let's consider. Before we started out by saying that we had two pairs of tanoim on each side of the question about the arusa. We had Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon. All of a sudden, in the middle of the braisa, when we get to the mukaseit, all of a sudden it's only Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosi is out. So Rabbi Yosi midshavke labarzuge, since he abandoned his partner. Mikvader mukaseit to Rameir Svirlei. So evidently he holds, as far as mukaseit, he holds like Rameir. Menale, so where did he get that from? According to Rabbi Yosi, we said not Rabbi Yosi. According to Rabbi Shimon, we said that we're adding mukaseit in because she's not a psula. According to Rabbi Yosi, we're saying mukaseit is fine. Why? The answer is miloi haisala ish. He learns it from the fact that he learns it from loi haisala ish. She was not with a man. She was not an unbesula through a man. Question is, v'ha pikdei? I mean, we used already the word lohoisa before. We said lohoisa is the arusa that she's already hoisa. So how do you have that available? The answer is chad milohoisa v'chad milaish. Rabbi Yosi would break up that phrase. He would say that lohoisa teaches us one thing, not an arusa, but laish teaches us another thing. That as long as it wasn't al yidei ish, then she's fine. Which a mukaseit is not ayideish, so therefore, according to him, she's fine. Okay, then the question is another question, the last question on the braisa. We said elov the rabbis abegeres. We said according to everybody. First, we said according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Then we said according to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon that the word elov comes to include a begeres, that the kohen can be metame for his sister, which is a begeres. Question is why? The question is why? Before, again, in the sugya, when we started talking after the Mishnah about the Kohen Gadol being allowed to marry a begeris or not, we said that Reb Meir had said that the word besula in and of itself means any kind of besula, even a begeris, and the word bibsula tells us that it has to be besula shlema, so therefore only a naira. Whereas Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon had said the other way around, that the word besula in and of itself means besula shlema, and the word besuleha means, on the contrary, mixtas besula. Just the opposite. But now over here, the pasuk says, l'achoyze ha-besula. So shouldn't they be saying that it means besula shlema? So how are they saying, all of a sudden, you can include the begeret? And the answer is, taima de nami, nami. That's exactly his reason. Taima de nami hosam mehacha. The reasoning that Reb Shimon is using over there to say that the word besula means besula shlema is actually from here, the Darash Hachi, that he darshins our pasuk as follows: mida elav the rabbis habegeres. Since you need the word elav to include the begeres, meaning without it you would think it meant besula shlema, mikal the besula shlema mashma. So therefore, that means the word besula by itself means specifically a naira. So that's exactly that is where he gets that from.
From here.
By analyzing our pasuk, realizing that the word Elov is extra and it's coming, L'rabbis HaBegeres, he says that itself implies that the word Besula without Elov means Besula Shlema. And that's why you need the word Elov to include the Begeres. Tosfos explains the question and answer a little differently. We said before Reb Shimon said that a begeret is kosher to marry a kohen gadol. So why b'chol do we need the word elav over here? According to Rashi, the point of the question was that he said the word besula means besula shlema. So how could you include a begeret with elav? Tosfos explains, no. The question is, why do you even need the word elav if according to him a begeret is kosher to the kohen gadol? And the answer is precise. And the answer is, the Gemara answers, that's precisely that. How does he know a begeret is mutter to the kohen gadol? Because he figures from here, we have the word elav. We have the word elav to tell us that a begeret is also okay, that a brother can be metame for her, and therefore we can use that to reanalyze the pasuk by the kohen gadol and say that he's allowed to marry a begeret.
We didn't have it.
So not we use it to reanalyze the pasuk. Because over here, because Reb Shimon had his general rule over here, Re'uya L'Kohen Gadol can be metame, not Re'uya L'Kohen Gadol can't be metame. So he uses that rule. Once our pasuk has been ma'abir the begeres from Elov, then in turn he says, well then by the same logic, she's allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa more on this topic of women who have and haven't had relations, and a little interesting piece of Agata as well. Reb Shimon ben Yochayomer, Giyoris bas mipchusim bas shalosh shanav yemechon kshero lekohona. A woman who was nisgayer less than 3 years old is kosher to marry a kohen. Now, as background, we know, we talked already about the Torah says that a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, a zoyna, or a chalala. We're going to have the second Mishnah on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph is going to deal, and the Gemara on it are going to deal with the question of what exactly is considered a zoyna la halacha. Her parents were megayer her. No, so her parents were megayer her along with them. Her parents became a giyoris. They became geirim. Her parents became geirim along with their daughter. Or for example, she was adopted by a Jewish family. I was telling you a couple of weeks ago when we had the sugya of geirus that I was once present for the tevila of the geirus of a little girl who a Jewish family had adopted. She was like 2.5 years old. That's exactly what we're talking about over here. By 12, or she has to be kabbal mitzvahs on her, right? If she chooses not to, then no. Yeah. Anyway, so now the pasuk says that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zoyna. There's also a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel that says that a kohen has to marry besulis mizera beis Yisrael. And why it says besulis is another question. That's before we discuss the issue. But anyway, it says mizera beis Yisrael. They have to marry a woman from Jewish lineage. So one way of looking at it, some Mepharshim say, is basically Yechezkel is explaining what does the Torah mean by zoyna. It includes also a giyoris, either because herself, while she in her previous life as a goita, she may have been mizana, or because her parents may have been mizana, and she's likely as not to have been born from znus. Or some Mepharshim take it that way, and later on in the Gemara towards the end of the Amud, we have something that seems to say that. Or the other possibility, some Mepharshim say, is no, it's a separate din that Yechezkel will say is writing down something that originally was a halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, that besides the three categories that the Torah mentions, grusha, zoyna, grusha, and chalala, there's a fourth one, a geirus. So now, Rav Shimon ben Yochai is saying that if she's less than 3 years old, where ain bi asa bia, where bia with her would have no has no consequence in halacha, it's not considered, she's not considered a ba'ula, then she would be kosher for a kohen. Why? Shenemar, and what's his proof? Shenemar, by the war with Midian, the pasuk describes over there, the Yidden brought back from the war with Midian, in Parshas Matis, they bring back captives and then spoils and whatnot, and Moshe gets very upset with them. How you talking? You left the women alive. These are the very same women who were sent to be to make the Jewish people be Mizana. And he tells them, Va'atar, he says, Chol Isha, he says, Va'atar, Hirgu, Kol Zachah Batov, you have to get rid of all the male children. Any woman who's been with a man, which we'll explain soon, in lot after been with a man, but whatever, haroigu, you need to kill. Any of the young girls who have not been with a man, you can keep alive for yourselves. Which implies, it sounds like it means you can keep them alive for yourselves. You're allowed to be megayer them and marry them. Now one of the people, the 12,000 soldiers, and Pinchas went along. So Hach Yulochem is a blanket statement, meaning even Pinchas was a Kohen. He became a Kohen after he killed Zimri and Cosby. So he and we see that the Torah seems to be implying he would be allowed to marry one of these captives. And that's the definition of Tach Panoshim, is less than 3 years old. V'Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, no, Labbanan B'loshmachas, no. The Hach Yulochem doesn't mean you can keep them as wives necessarily. It means you can keep them as maidservants. So fine, Pinchas can have one of these girls be a maidservant to him, but not to marry him. If that's the quiz, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then what's the difference? If according to Reb Shimon, the key factor is whether they had relations or not, why is he saying Davka under 3? So if a girl becomes a Giyaret at older than 3 also, what's the problem? Yeah. The answer is Kidra Puna. The reason why Reb Shimon makes that distinction between under 3 and over 3 is like Reb Huna explains. The Reb Huna Rami, Reb Huna pointed out a stira in the Psukim. The first pasuk says, "Kol isha yadas ish l'mishkav zacha haroigu." Any of the women who has known a man, who has had relations with a man, haroigu, you need to kill. Ha any yadas kaimu, which implies if she hasn't been with a man, if she's still a psula, then you can keep her alive.
That was only for Midian.
No, only for Midian. Yeah, the general rule. I mean, in Parshas Shoftim, the Torah describes the general rule is when you fight against a goyish city, once you capture it, you kill all the men. The key says called Zchura L'Fichorev. Normally, Rakan Noshim V'Atafa Behema. Normally, you're allowed to keep alive the women and the children of any age, and have them for yourselves. In the case of Melchemes Midian, because like Moshe told the people, the whole purpose of it was to punish them for what they did with Bnos Midian. Then he told them to kill all of the older women as well, which we'll talk in a second what older means. And of course, in the wars with Amalek and the Seven Nations of Canaan, it's Lo Yitzchayek Kol Neshama. It's you know total genocide. Let's call a spade, you know. Yeah. Anyway. So one pasuk implies that only if she was yadas-ish, only if she'd actually been with a man, do you kill her. Uchtiv, but then the next pasuk says, V'chol atach panoshim ashella yodah mishkav zachar hachiu lachem. Any of the children among the women who have not known mishkav zachar, hachiu lachem, you should keep alive for yourself. Ho yadi haregu, which implies that, but if they do know, If they do know, meaning if they're old enough to have had relations, even though they haven't actually, haregu, then you kill them. So what is it? Is it if they've actually had relations, or is it if they're able to, if they're shy at it? That's what it means. The pasuk is distinguishing between whether she's capable of having relations or not. So the noshim, the older women, kol isha yadas ish, who's old enough to be able to be yadea ish, is haroigu. V'chol atach panoshim means that they're too young for that kind of thing. Tani nami hachavilin, similarly in Braitha. When the pasuk says v'chol isha yadas ish, means b'ru'uya libar lakas medaba. The pasuk is talking about where she's capable of having had relations. How do you know? Maybe it means only if she actually had relations. But then when the pasuk continues, only the children among the women, who have not known mishkav zachar, where it's in other words distinguishing the children between the children and the adults. Obviously, it means that it's a difference of whether ru'uya libol. So therefore, the ones who are below 3 are all in the category of ain ru'uya libol. The ones above that are already ru'uya libol. physically they're capable, because once 3 years old already, then relations with them is considered to have significance in halacha. One thing is some aforementioned point out that somebody points out. I mean, okay, the ones who had relations, you can understand why Moshe is telling them to get rid of them. Hein hayu, they were the very ones who were seducing the Jewish people. The ones who on the face of it who lo yod mishkav zachu, who are still the soulless, but they're over three. What's the problem with them? Why? What did they do? And one answer is similar to what Rashi says on the pasuk with Rivka, Basula v'ishla yada. Rashi points out over there why the double expression, because he says the Jewish women in those days, sometimes they would want to be able to pass themselves off as Basulas when they're married, but instead all that time, meanwhile, they'd be doing Shalei Kedavka. So over here also, there's reason to suspect that these women, once they're old enough for Bia, they may have been fooling around like that in order and still trying to pass themselves off as Basulas. As opposed to less than Bas Shalosh Shanim Yemechad, they're not shaykh for that thing.
I said they went to the Orem Ritzurim.
One second. Wait. Yeah. Now the question is, Menor Yadi, how do they know who's above three and who they didn't have birth certificates? Amr of Huna, Babizna, Amr of Shimon Chasida, Hevirum Lifnei Tzitz. They made these women walk in front of the Tzitz. Kol Shapanem Marikus, Biador Shiru Yalipa. Any woman whose face turned pale, Renes, Rashi says, then it shows that she's really bald. It shows that she's already of this age. If her face does not turn pale or green, whatever, then we know that she's not, and she's safe. Why Panama Rikas? Why is that the simon? So Marsha explains, the tzitz had the Eibishter's name on it. It says Kodesh Lashem. So the people who deserve to be in the presence of the Eibishter's name is Yor Hashem Panav Elacha. Then their face lights up from being in the presence of it. Somebody who does not deserve to be like the women we're talking about over here, then instead their faces were turned pale. We're talking 3 years and up, yeah. Amr Rav Nachman, Simon Hidroiken. And Rav Nachman says in this connection, a simon of a person who's committed an Avera, and throughout Shas, the word Avera unspecified means nus, is Hidroiken, is a sickness, or Rashi says Merikin, it means that their face is turned pale. Tosfos discusses that actually it's a little bit different. Hidroiken is actually in some various mepharshim explain, and I think Rashi himself explains in a few places that hidroiken is a disease that nowadays is called edema, where a person retains water where they shouldn't be. But it also causes a person's face to turn a little greenish, a little palish. And then, therefore, that's the point of what we're mentioning over here, that the same way as these women's faces turn pale being in front of the tzitz, the same way, in general, a simon for a person who's been involved in znus is that their face turns a little pale. That they get a hidroiken and their face also turns pale from it. He waited 10 years until he knows she's able to have children before he even started davening. Who says they weren't? Who says they hadn't done bia before that? Incidentally, we're going to talk in a couple of days. There's an interesting, actually tomorrow, I think, there's someplace around here, I forget, there's a Tosfos that points out that actually, based on Seder Olam, Rivka was not three when she married Yitzchak, but rather 14.
That's an
opinion of Seder Olam, but it's an opinion. But yeah, anyway. By the way, there's an interesting vote on this. I saw it from the Rogatchover. I think I've seen it elsewhere also. That on this, it was saying Simon Laveda Hidroiken. The Gemara mentions this is the business of Hidroiken in a few places. In one place, the Gemara mentioned in Shabbos, the Gemara talks about that there is a cure for Hidroiken. It's drinking something called a Koistral Ikrin. The thing is, it takes away the greenishness of the face, but it also makes the person sterile. It makes them infertile. When Yaakov comes to Yaakov at the end of his life is in Parshas Vayechi is getting ready to bench Menashe and Ephraim, he says to Yosef, "Ro'oy p'necha lo'y pilalti, I never expected to see your face. V'hine heroi selikin gamas parecha, and here the Eibishter has also shown me your children." So the Rogatchover explains, what is Yaakov saying? He's saying like this: you've been in Mitzrayim and Erev HaSa'aretz all this time. I never would have expected that you'd withstand it. I fully expected if I ever see you in Mitzrayim, you're going to have a face with Hidroiken. You're going to have a greenish face from having been involved in Znus. Elamai, okay, I would say to myself, but maybe you would have taken a Kosher Likrin. The problem is, then you wouldn't have children. The fact that now I see your face the way it was originally, without any sign of Hidroiken, or without any sign of turning green, and that you have children, shows me that you kept yourself tar all this time.
What was that drink called?
Nah, but come on.
What was that drink called?
The drink is called Kosher Licorin.
Oh, Kosher Licorin.
Kosher Licorin, yeah. There's a similar event in Jewish history where also they had to check which gurus are basulis and which are not. At the end of Sefer Shoftim, hello? The end of Sefer Shoftim tell the whole story of Pelegesh Begiva, that there was a man and a Pelegesh passing through one of the cities in Shevet Binyamin. The people over there were attacking the house, like the people of Sodom by Lot, and threatening to take the guy and then do terrible things to him. He sends out his Pelegesh. They torture her all night basically, and in the morning she's found dead. So the Levi, her husband, or whatever you call the husband of Pelegesh.
Why do they want to kill?
These people of Giva, they were cool people. They were acting like the people of Sodom, yeah. So this guy goes and informs the whole Jewish people, and everybody is outraged, and they go to a civil war against Shevet Binyamin. Or actually, they tell Shevet Binyamin hand over these guys. Shevet Binyamin basically says mix out. This is an internal affair of ours. We'll deal with it. The rest of the Jewish people aren't having any of that, and they go to war. With Shevet Binyamin. They wind up, we learned in Yoma that they fought two battles against Shevet Binyamin, and in both of those battles several tens of thousands of Jews from the other Shevatim were killed because they hadn't asked the Urim Batumim whether they should go to war, just, are we going to win? The third time they finally asked, could we really be fighting B'chol? And the Eibishter says, yes, go ahead, and tomorrow you'll beat them. The Pasuk describes they wound up wiping out almost all of Shevet Binyamin. Now, during all of this, while all of this was going on, the Yidden had also gotten together in Mitzvah and made a shvua binding on the whole Jewish people that none of us are going to give our wives in marriage, none of us are going to give our daughters in marriage to anyone from Shevet Binyamin. We're going to cut them off from the Jewish people. Now, after the Civil War, there's only, 600 men left from Shevet Binyamin, plus there's a marginal note of Nashi that, over there that mentions 100 more that escaped to Europe or whatever. Anyway, there's only 600 left of Shevet Binyamin out of Israel. Cooler heads started prevailing. You know what? I mean, we can't have a whole Shevet die out. What are we going to do? Well, they said, okay, let's figure out. You know, all of us have promised we're not going to give our wives, our daughters to anyone from Shevet Binyamin. Well, is there anybody from the Jewish people who did not join in that assembly? They go and they find, sure enough, the people of Yavish Gilad, one of the cities in Eber Yarden, had not come to the assembly. Well, first things first.
Last thing, there were no women left?
From Shevet Binyamin, yeah, no. Tidishma Binyamin Isha is Lashon HaPasuk over there. So they first of all, you know, they go and punish the people of Yavish Gilad for the chutzpah. Hayitachon, the whole Jewish people are getting together for something like this, and you're sitting on the sidelines. So they go and they go and wipe out the city. Then what's left? Who did they make sure to keep alive from the city? That's the pasuk that we're quoting over here. They found from among the people of Yavish Gilad 400 girls besulos who ashela yadu ish lemishkav zacher, who had never been with a man, and then they brought and gave them to 400 of the men of Shevet Binyamin. So that takes care of 400. And then the pasuk goes on to say how they advised the other 200 to go and then grab themselves wives on Tu B'Av or Yom Kippur when the women are dancing and when the girls are dancing and they're in the video there, as we learned at the end of Tainus.
From where? From these 400?
No, from the remaining 200. The remaining 200 who didn't have wives from Yavish Gilad, they should go do like that, and then that way, like they're kind of circumventing. This is not really closing their eyes. This is actually one of the things that we learned in Tainus. They celebrated on Tu B'Av that they figured out a heter for the thing. We're not going to give our daughters to them as wives, but if they go and grab them, then we're not going to stop them. Basically, yeah.
They are.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the pasuk is saying that they found these 400 basulas, and again the question is minyadi. How do they know which ones are basulas or not? Incidentally, why, you know, besides the fact that part of the punishment of Yavish Gilad was for the fact that they didn't join in this thing with the rest of the Jewish people, Das Sofrim on the pasuk over there also explains what did they have against the women who had relations? Why are they only keeping the nara basula? And he explains that evidently there was a serious problem of znus going on. So besides that, they're punishing them for not being involved with the rest of the Jewish people. They also they felt they had to deal with this as well. Whereas these girls who lo yodim mishkam zachar, they had nothing to do with that. From Yavish Gilad, yeah. So Menayad, Yavish Gilad is a city in Eber Yarden. I mean, it's someplace in Jordan nowadays. Not sure. It's in Gilad. Yavish Gilad. It's Yavish in Gilad. Yeah. Anyway. by the way, I mean, not to get too far off topic, but we find later on in Sefer Shmuel, because of this, it seems that there was a certain closeness afterwards between Yavish Gilad and Binyamin, because 400 have met people for Shea Binyamin and married wives from Yavish Gilad. So afterwards, they're related. We find afterwards that when the city of Yavish Gilad was threatened, that was the first major battle that Shaul ever fought to go and save them. Later on, after Shaul and his sons were killed in battle, these people from Yavish Gilad were the ones who were Moser Nefesh to go and steal into Plishti territory and get the bodies to bury them. Anyway, yeah.
Shaul was from Binyamin?
What? Shaul was from Binyamin, yeah. So, Menah Yadi, how do they know which ones are the Basilis? Amar Rav Kahana, Hoshivim Apichavis Choyayin, they had each one of them sit on top of a barrel of wine. But Ula Rechanoidev, if she's had relations, and therefore her rechem is sort of open, more open than it would otherwise be, then the fumes of the wine go in, and then afterwards you can smell it on her breath. Basula ain't Rechanoidev, but Basula not. The Gemara also mentions in Ksubas that method worked in later times also. The Gemara tells in Ksubas over there how one time there was a guy who claimed after his marriage that his wife was an Absula, and Rebbe did the same test and verified that she was.
Put her on the barrel.
Question is, whenever you're looking at tzitz, why not do the same thing as by Bnei Smidyon and have them pass in front of the tzitz? Amar Rav Kahana, Bredi Rav Nassin, because the pasuk says about the tzitz, l'rotzim l'hem k'siv. The pasuk says that the tzitz is meant for the favor, that the Eivishter should favor the Jewish people. L'rotzim v'lo l'peronu. So it has to be for that the Eivishter should be doing good for the Jewish people, not like in this case where whoever doesn't pass the test is going to be executed. You're not going to use the tzitz for that. These are Jews we're talking about. Question is, Yichachi b'minyan nami? Well, so the same thing with Midyan, it was l'peronu. Amar Rav Ashi, l'hem k'siv. It says that it should be l'ratzon lahem for the Jewish people. L'ratzon lahem l'ratzon v'lo l'peronos. For the Jewish people, you only want to use the tzitz for ratzon and for good purposes. For oivri kachavim, yes, the tzitz can be used for peronos as well. Now, going back to, so this was a little piece of agadta to explain this business about what we going back to, Rav Shimon had said, how did we get into all this? Because Rav Shimon had said that a geyotus less than 3 years old is allowed to marry a kohen. So, Amar Rav Yaakov Ba'idi, Amar Rav Yishuv and Levi, halacha, could Rav Shimon Yichai? So he's saying in the name of Rav Yishuv and Levi that is indeed the halacha. Amalei Rav Zeira Rav Yaakov Ba'idi, so Rav Zeira asks him, Befeir Shmielach or Mikola Shmielach? Did you actually explicitly hear from Rav Yishuv ben Levi that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, or are you just deducing it from something that happened? Like my asks, my klala, what kind of thing are we talking about, something that might have happened that Rav Yaakov Ba'idi might be deducing it from, which then we could ask a question on it maybe? That's like this. The Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Ir Achas Hoitza Be'Eretz Yisrael, Shekara Al Na'ara. There was a certain city in Eretz Yisrael where there was a coil going around that there's a psul in one or more of the families of the city. V'shigir Rabbi Yisrael Roimanos, so Rabbi sent Rabbi Roimanos to check out the situation. Ubotka, he checked. Umotzaba Bas Giyuris, Chosim Rat Shalosh Shanav Yemechad. He found there a girl, the daughter of a Giyuris, who was less than three years old, who was married to a Kayan. Or either that she was married to a Kayan, or she's the daughter of a Giyuris, of such a Giyuris who was married to a Kayan, whatever it is. Not she was married to the Kayan when she's less than three, but in other words, that she had been this Gaia less than three and married a Kayan afterwards. Rabbi Lakona, and Rabbi said that she's kosher to marry a kohen. That was the reason for the error in the first place, because there was this Giyuris there who was married to a kohen. People were objecting. There were halalim in the city, and Rabbi was saying no, it's not a problem. So that's miklala. That would be from that we could deduce that the halacha is like Rav Shimon. So Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi tells him no, Befeder Shmieli. I heard explicitly from Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi that the halacha is like Rav Shimon. I didn't just deduce it from this story. So what? What's wrong with deducing it? It sounds like the story is proving exactly our point. The answer is Dilma. Shiny Hasim Hoyle the Insiv. You could say there's a difference. Maybe we would say that Lachatchila Kohen should not marry such a Giyuris. But Bibiyevet, in this case, in the city, he was already married to her, so Rebbe said, fine, let it slide. That wouldn't prove that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, that Lachatchila Ksheir Lakuna. Right. So that's why it's important to know whether it's Befeder from Miklala. Yeah. And why would we say that that's a difference? The Rav Rabbi Yechon and Ami Tavayu, because we saw at the beginning of Samach Amar Aleph, we said that Rav and Rabbi Yechon both said Begeres and Mukas Eitz L'Yisa, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Begeres or a woman who has been injured by wood. V'im Nasa Nasri, but if he did, then B'dievet he's married. The same thing over here. We could say there's a distinction. Maybe a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geyeres, but if he did, then yeah. How could you compare the two cases? Why would you even think to compare them? Bishleima Hossam, in that case, you know why we're saying B'dievet, she can stay married? Because like we said before, Seifa Liyas Begeret Tachtav, Seifa Liyas Be'ula Tachtav. Eventually she's going to become a good Begeret, eventually she's going to be a Be'ula. So even now, okay, he sort of jumped the gun over here, but you know, still, it's going to be that way eventually anyway. Hachas Seifa Liyas Zayna Tachtav over here. If we're saying that a Geyotis is also under the heading of Zayna, which we'll talk about later on Tzemach Aleph, then she's not going to become a zayna normally while married to the kohen. So there's a big difference there. So therefore, there's more. You could say that yes, with a begeret or mukas eitz will allow it to slide b'di'evet. But in our case over here, if Rebbe is saying she's kshedel l'kohuna, that implies it has to be l'chatchila because we wouldn't allow it b'di'evet. Something where I add, Rav Safra Masni Lomiklala, Rav Safra learned that Rav Yaakov Ba'idi had only deduced the halacha from the story. He hadn't actually heard the Feder from Yerushalayim Levi. For Kashale, and he had the same question, how could you compare that? Or Mashani Lehachi, and that's exactly how the same question and answer that we just went through in the Gemara, where we thought to say that there might be a difference between the Chachila and B'dievet, and then we say that no, with the Geyoris, there's no logical reason to say there's a difference between the Chachila and B'dievet. Rav Safra went through the same kind of thing on that basis. However, Hahu Kahana de Insibiotis Kosova Shalashan of Yemechad, it once happened that a Koyan married a Giyotis who had been Nisgaya when she was less than 3, and we said before the halachas of Shimon. But Amalei Rav Nachum Yitzchak, my higher, Rav Nachum Yitzchak says to him, what are you doing? Amalei, so the Koyan tells him, what's the problem? To Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yishua, halacha of Shimon, Yechai. Amalei, so Rav Nachum Yitzchak tells him, no, that's not the halacha in the end. Zil Afik, go send her away. In other words, go give her a get. V'iloi, and if not, ma'pikna l'cha Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi me'unach. I will take Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi out of your ear. Meaning, in other words, like, I'll schlep him out of your ear. In other words, Rashi says, in other words, I'm going to put you in chayrim. I'm going to put you in chayrim if you don't. And then you're going to have no choice but to divorce her. Or another explanation, me'unach means like from your strength. Like, you think you have the strength, you think you have Reb Shimon to rely on, could I Reb Shimon listen to Chalav? I'm taking away that strength of yours. You can't rely on Reb Shimon in this case. And that's back of the halacha that a kohen is also to marry a geyotis no matter what age she was this guy. Yeah.
That's the final conclusion.
One more, guys.